Welcome to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where three Australians talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode by episode.
I'm Chris.
I'm Mabel.
And I'm Megan, and today we are discussing season 4, episode 17, Superstone.
A Jonathan episode?
A Jonathan
what
episode!
The hell?
How much do you love Jonathan?
This threw me for an absolute loop, this one. I had no idea what was going on. This felt like an episode of Rick and Morty. Like, I didn't know what was real and what wasn't. And then, like, the opening credits, like, the theme song.
So did you catch straight away, Chris, that something was wrong with the opening credits? Or did you go back to the opening credits?
I fumbled and didn't click skip in time.
Yep.
And so I just
started
playing.
Oh, so you wanted to skip it.
I was going to skip it. I had every intention to skip. I don't usually. I only, like 90% of the time I do watch it. But I was like, it was getting late. I just needed to skip. And I missed it. So just, you know. And I was even like half paying attention. Like out of the corner of my eye, I was like, oh, that, what was that? What was that just there? And yes, it just kept happening and kept
because
happening.
Because they do like gradually just sprinkle it in, you know, like the first few appearances.
Not that often.
Like,
no, not even that often.
Easily miss it. And then you get like the final scene of him just like walking
Dune,
at the end of the credits.
Dune, yeah.
The
angel
that was
walk.
Special.
Yeah.
I kind of hated how we needed to have the last time on
the
what
previously.
You might have missed.
Yeah,
previously on.
Previously
hey,
on.
Jonathan was here, remember? And even that was enough to be like, oh, so it's a Jonathan episode. Why do we have a Jonathan episode? Was that
yeah,
like
I can't even remember.
Ago?
I'm trying to remember what the skip recap was.
They did a bunch. So they, because they, it was,
they did
it was,
do, did...
it was Jonathan in the tower and like
yes,
Buffy talking about
a very brief
that.
Scene in the tower.
But then there was also like a bit of stuff about the faith body swap, and there was a bit of stuff about Adam as well, which I guess all came up. But I kind of wish there wasn't a previously on. Like, I wish we'd gone straight into it.
I was just about to say that, like, you've got to remember that, you know, people would have had years between when they watched this episode and when they watched the Bell Tower one. But actually, we've had years.
Yeah, true.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Probably would have been 1 year for them.
But this is, like, I totally agree that there's been so much time. People will have forgotten Jonathan. People will have seen Jonathan and not realize that he was someone worth remembering. And, like, also the faith stuff and that, like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be recapped. But especially with the Jonathan stuff, if you just don't know anything about it, the recap doesn't even really give you enough. Like,
it's not necessary.
If you don't remember it and if you didn't see it, like, it's too late. Like, you just have to go in cold.
You do.
The whole point of Jonathan is he's forgettable. That's the whole bit.
Yeah.
Like,
which again, Chris, let's remember, like, every time that Mabel and I are like, oh my God, it's Jonathan, he's in it. And you're like, what the, how are you even noticing this guy? What the fuck?
Yeah. So now that makes sense. Now that officially makes sense.
But how are they going to, like, keep bringing him back, you know? Like, do you think this is it?
Is this it? Is this the last time we see him?
Great question.
Or are you
able
to forget him finally? Is this, we're done?
That's a great question.
Yeah, tell us how he's coming back.
I think it'll be once a season from now on.
Once a season from now on.
It's season 5.
Yep. Give us a rough idea. Will it be just, like, one episode? He'll just be in the background? Or is he going to be, like, part of the episode? How will
No,
it
he'll
work?
Be,
Tell
like,
us.
Pretty heavily featured.
Or, is season 5 going to be, like, full Rick and Morty alternate reality where we just go back to Superstar but for a whole season?
No, actually, no. It won't be. Season 5, he'll, like, do something to save the day at the end. It'll be, like, a Neville Longbottom situation.
Ooh.
He really is the Neville Longbottom of Buffy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Then he'll be in the musical episode. I know that's coming. So he'll probably have some role in that. He sort of sung a little bit. He did a little trumpet action.
He did a little trumpet action. That was not him singing, but yep, sure. Mm-hmm.
It kind of sounded like his voice.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was the guy who played Tucker Wells in the prom episode.
What?
I don't know why.
We are fully skipping ahead. Tucker
we
Wells.
Are, we are, we are. We should actually just do it.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Australians watching Buffy. It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
So this episode was written by Jane Espenson, directed by David Grossman. Both names we've heard of before. Do you remember Jane Espenson, Chris?
Love Jane's work.
I know Jane Espenson. I don't know Tucker Wells. This guy.
Tucker Wells. Well, so that was the character name, was Tucker Wells. So he was the guy who He was the guy who trained the demons to attack the school.
The rabbit. Oh,
wait a second. And this guy, did he voice Aladdin? Did we do him on Name That Minor Character?
Oh, shit, yeah. That was his Name That Minor Character.
Yep. He voiced Aladdin.
Yeah.
Ironically, did he do the singing voice or did he do the speaking voice for Aladdin?
Singing voice.
I think it was the singing voice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And not Aladdin speaking voice.
Aladdin and Jonathan.
This
the big names.
This is a tangent and a half. We are well off.
This week's Name That Minor Character, Tucker Wells.
Yeah, it wasn't in the episode. But not even mentioned.
Fantasy versus reality. Buffy, still reeling from the discovery that Riley was intimate with Faith. Excuse me while my cat just scratches the couch quickly. You right there, mate? Buffy, still reeling from the discovery that Riley was intimate with Faith, must put aside her personal emotions and summon the strength to uncover why the entire town thinks that former high school nerd Jonathan is Sunnydale's newest version of a superhero.
Yeah. Here's my question, and I'm hoping one of you will know the answer to this. Chicken and the egg. Did they want to do this weird Jonathan thing, and so they just made an episode around it? Or did they realize they had a nothing episode? Like, there was no real story happening here. Like, I know, you know, Riley and Buffy were getting back together and getting along, but nothing really happened. And they're just like, how about we do a weird Jonathan thing? That'd be funny. You know? That's what I kept thinking in the entire episode. I'm like,
feel like I would assume it's the perfect marriage of both, right? Like, we've got a slot and we've always wanted to do this weird Jonathan episode. So, two birds.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Now that Faith's gone, let's bring Jonathan back.
Yeah, I don't know.
Perfect.
I don't know. There's nothing about that in the wiki either. So, Brad Kane. Sorry, that is the guy who played Tucker Wells, Brad Kane. Yeah.
That's right.
So Buffy and the Scooby Gang are hunting vampires in a graveyard. And I love that actually, and I don't know if you picked up on this, Chris, but pretty much from the moment it opens, you can see that something is off with Buffy. She's not fighting the way she usually does. She kind of like, she does it when she stakes the vampire, she does this almost like kind of stake. It's pathetic.
Yeah,
it's
like the Buffy of the Jonathan universe is like
someone else that you know?
No, it's just like plus 50% ditzy. You know, she just puts on, you know how like Buffy sometimes has her like ditzy persona and she just like leans into that for the whole episode.
Mabel, she's giving me vibes of another character in season 5. The one that is the direct outcome of I Was Made for Loving You?
Yeah.
Yep. Good.
It's like a language.
Yeah. The way it's played is very similar.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, just a couple of lines.
And that makes sense that she would kind of play it the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that episode, actually.
Me too. Oh, Chris, there's so much ahead of you. So they discover a nest and decide that it's too many vampires, so they're gonna go see Jonathan. Opening credits.
When that chair swings around, I'm like, because I'm thinking.
And like the music they choose for this whole like.
Yes. And so quick question, like, yeah, did you know who Jonathan was when they say, "Let's go see Jonathan"?
Did they? I don't think they said "Let's go see Jonathan."
Did they not?
No.
It was like, let's go see him. We have to.
Let's go see
is
him.
It, is it time to see him? I think it is. I really built it up. Yes. Yeah. And so when he's turned around, I'm like, what?
Yes. Yes.
Even though I knew that they did the previously on, like, still when he turned around,
you still didn't expect it to be him that they were going to see. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. And that's kind of what I love about the whole episode. It's like so absurd that it keeps being hilarious the whole time. Like, you've already got the previously, you've already got the credits. And even as the episode goes on, you keep getting the scenes with Jonathan and it keeps being like, what the hell is going on?
What is happening right now?
Yeah. It's so good.
So they go to Giles's place and Jonathan's looking at weapons and doing some hand-to-hand combat with Buffy and winning?
Mm-hmm.
Or like letting her win, maybe? And also being better at Willow than in computers and
beating Giles in chess. The last few times we've had Jonathan, I've been very disparaging about his acting ability. I've said before that I don't think he's a particularly strong performer.
Yeah, I think.
But I gotta eat my words in this episode. I don't know. I think he's just, maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid that everyone else is drinking.
You've been under the spell.
I've fallen under the spell too. I thought he was fantastic. Yeah, in this whole thing. Yeah.
And did
just
you
a bit of confidence makes such a difference.
Did you all know that the Nimzowitch defense is in fact a real chess opening move?
It makes sense.
I assumed, but I can't say that I knew that.
Yeah, well, I didn't either. I looked it up because I was like, "Is that real? That doesn't sound real." It's real, and it's like a very somewhat unusual chess opening. Apparently.
Sometimes it's easier to just find the real one than create a fake one. That sounds
it's
real.
True, especially with stuff like that where it's kind of like, so they go to the crypt and, you know, take care of the vampires, which again Buffy is barely involved in. And Jonathan tries to make her feel better. Yeah. It's weird. It's already... And oh my God. And then the paparazzi in right here. Yeah. So do they know about vampires? I don't know.
That didn't even occur to me. I was still reeling from Jonathan.
None of it even matters. You know, the whole universe is designed to just contradict itself constantly.
On this weird axis. Yeah. So then, he sets a spike in the shadows and... has a verbal battle. And okay, so question. Just generally noticed that Buffy's ability to pun seems to be directly related to her strength as a slayer. So when she loses her strength, she loses her ability to pun. So she had no comebacks to Spike. And Jonathan beat him in the verbal battle. But Buffy was all like, and your hair and stuff, you know. Yeah. And she has no punning ability when she doesn't have her slayer strength. And I've seen this before. This isn't the first time that she's lost her punning ability when she's lost her slayer strength. Directly related.
I like it. Slayer strength equals punning.
Equals pun. I kind of liked it too.
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Does that mean our greatest punners might be slayers? Like Shakespeare, amazing punning. Is he a slayer? Yeah. Tim Vine, British comedian. Sure.
Slight issue with those. With those particular people, the gender.
Shakespeare.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we don't even know who Shakespeare was.
True
he could have been like
that, Chris.
10 different people.
Could have been.
The spike of it all really put it over the top for me. This is getting ridiculous. Even Spike's, you. The amazing Jonathan. I wrote down, I thought it was a dream. I thought at the end of the episode would be Jonathan wakes up.
Yep.
And goes, oh, man.
Which I also wouldn't have even hated, you know? I feel like there's nothing that would have made me not like this episode. None of it works and it's all stupid and absurd and not even that fun. The whole scenario is just inherently funny. So, nothing individually has to be that funny.
Even the lesbians are hanging up pictures of Jonathan on their wall and, swooning over him.
Love that. And they don't even mention it. You just see them sticking stuff on the wall. There's a little bit where Tara's like, ooh, this one's cute, and then keeps talking. Yeah. And then it's only at the end that you see what they're doing, but there's no comment, no discussion.
There's no comment about it.
We don't
have
to linger on it.
Nothing. Yeah. It's great. So then we go to Riley's dorm room. Mabel, did you watch this on the DVDs?
Yeah.
Chris, you obviously watched it on Disney.
I did.
Did you notice the extreme amount of makeup that Mark Lucas was wearing? Because I did.
I think I have noticed it before, actually.
Even his lipstick is really noticeable. He is just wearing way too much makeup. Or they put that, you can, with the videos, when you do the auto repair on the video, you can add the face of makeup. I feel like they added the face of makeup in that scene to both of them instead of just to Buffy, and it's odd. It looks odd. I even feel like his eyelids were just slightly shiny.
Well, because you know they do all that weird, they do all that weird face smoothing effects on all the HD versions. It messes with their face so much.
It's weird. It was weird. I felt like he was wearing way too much makeup. His lips were plum colored.
It's unfair to the work of the makeup artists of the time, right? Because they didn't know they had to deal with this.
They
thought they were working to the lighting that they had.
100%. It's true. I don't blame the makeup artists at all. I blame the dodgy rework on Disney.
They did the job. It worked on TV at the time. It works under the DVD, but now someone's just undone. Someone's just undone all their good work.
Makeup artist is not to blame.
Yep.
Yeah. So where am I? Sorry, I'm kind of jumping between two screens.
Oh, they're at the cafe. They go to the cafe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I lied. It wasn't the spike that put it over the top. It was like, he does the physical stuff. He does the fighting, but he's also there for the emotional.
Best talk. Friend of Buffy. Yes. Oh,
man.
And while they're talking, one of Jonathan's fans, Karen, asks him to sign a copy of her book. Shout out to Karen. I'm not doing her. I normally would, as we know. Mm-hmm. She ticks some boxes.
Yeah.
But I had to do somebody else because this person, every time I've watched this episode, makes me think, who the fuck are you? God, what do I know you from? And so I had to do this person.
I actually think I know who you're talking about. And okay. I had the exact same thought. I was like, who is this person?
Yeah,
who
well, now it? We're going to find out.
The way they're performing. While we're talking about Karen, though.
Yeah.
It's Karen with a K. Yeah, no shit. No shit, it's Karen with a K.
As soon as she said that, I was trying to picture a Karen without a K.
With a C?
There's no way it's a Karen with a C. I mean, I'm sure there's a big world. There's got to be some Karens with a C, but they're the ones that have to specify and not the other way around.
Exactly. What are you... What?
Totally. So now we go to the initiative. You mean, so this didn't tip you over the edge?
Oh my god. It just gets
this one too.
Even informing the initiative, you guys, on how to find and destroy Adam.
And then that's like, what's his name? Graham or whatever, just being like, oh, it's about time they brought in the big guns.
Yeah. Oh, for a second I thought, is this going to be the rest of the show? Is this like the rest of the, like four more seasons of this?
Now Jonathan the Vampire's Lair?
I'm in. I'll watch. Here's a question.
Yeah.
So they say that the spell, like, as good as it makes you, it creates a monster in the of an equal size, right?
Yeah.
So if he only wished half the amount of stuff, like, not, you know, the med school, not the famous basketball football player.
No, I don't think it works like that. I don't think he makes any specificities in his wish. Okay. What he does is just go, I want to be augmented, essentially. Right.
I want to be a paradigm.
The universe decides in what ways he's augmented. That's my sense for how the spell works. I don't think he really controlled that.
That would make more sense.
So he's clearly tied to the demon. So he can't kill the demon. Like, there's no out. Like, if he kills the demon, he loses the benefits of the spell.
Mm.
But, like, put it in a cage? I don't know. Like,
trap
it.
Yeah, he didn't even try that.
Yeah.
But
it seems like he can't overpower it to then put it in a cage, and he can't be like to Buffy, let's just put it in a cage and not kill it, you know?
I did like I know he tries to sweep it all under the rug, but for the most part, when it push comes to shove, he wants to do the right thing, you know?
He still has a good heart. That's what I noticed. Yeah. Mm. Like, he doesn't want to push Buffy into the ravine, and he wants to save the world. Like,
he's like coaching her on when she has to fight it at the end.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. I thought that was nice. Yeah.
He's going to be coming back the next few seasons. So we don't want to make him a villain.
We don't want to make him a complete villain. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to adopt Buffy soon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
So Jonathan has discovered that Adam never eats and is in fact using a uranium-235 derived power source in his chest. Thanks, Wiki.
I like, again, the whole, everything in the episode is so ridiculous that it doesn't even matter what they do anymore. And even like, he's got like the technical drawings from Professor Welsh's office, and he points at the middle of the drawing and is like, I've discovered...
This thing
is his weakness.
Very easy to see.
Point directly at the center of his body.
So Karen gets attacked by said monster that we were just discussing as she stalks Jonathan's windows, but manages to escape. And Riley is now seeking advice from Jonathan about their relationship.
Yep.
Because that's
he just gives the best advice.
It's also just kind of cute. I mean, this is kind of what Jonathan's saying at the end, right? He just wanted to be like friends with, like, he considered
that's
everyone
all
friends.
He really wanted.
You know, like, he wasn't trying to like, he wasn't only trying to manipulate people. He just wanted to hang out and be one of the gang.
Actually, I think the thing that he loved the most wasn't the fact that he'd starred in The Matrix or was getting people signing his books. It was that Buffy and the gang saw him as an equal or even, you know, someone that they would turn to. That's the thing that he was genuinely loving about his life. And that is actually sweet.
It is.
He was, you know, wrong, but it was sweet.
It was sweet.
Then he blindfolds himself and shoots apples off the top of the heads of three commandos. Just wanted to throw that in there.
Love that. And we love that.
I love how much they leaned into the ridiculous. They wanted you to know that they knew that this was ridiculous and that you just had to just write it up because it's ridiculous. You know? I loved it.
They would have had so many more ideas. There's a list somewhere. There's a whiteboard.
I want to see the whiteboard picture of the ideas that they had that didn't make it in. Yes. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. So then we are in the Bronze. And
Jonathan even is... the Bronze is weird. It's Jazz Night at the Bronze? Yes. It's when?
I also love how, like, in every scene almost, there's someone in the background wearing some version of a Jonathan t-shirt. You know, like, they have so many different designs.
They went for it, man.
Which, again, you can just imagine the things that didn't make it. Like, of all the designs and, like, with the books and the posters. I mean, I would love to pause frame by frame and go through every poster that's on the wall. Like, there would have been so much stuff in the background. The set design, prop design people would have had a blast.
Seriously.
But you love to love Jonathan. You do. You love to love him.
I've not liked him at any point this entire show until now.
Until now. I know.
This has won me over.
So he then finishes his song and he plays the trumpet and Xander and Anya are inspired to have sex, which is great. And what's funny about that is that Xander had been getting up Anya for calling out Jonathan's name, but then actually Xander was getting all hot and heavy just from watching Jonathan, which is fabulous. I love that.
But yeah, that's what's kind of funny. Again, from the very opening scene, they're all like in awe of him, but also everyone's kind of turned on by him a little bit as well. Like, there's
even Giles has the swimsuit calendar, you guys.
Everyone's so just like a little bit or a lot turned on by him constantly.
It's part of the spell. Maybe he used the wrong, like, you know, derivative root of something or other. You know, he was supposed to use like elderberry and he used some other thing that just turned everybody berry. Slightly sexy and horny. I like to think that that's what happened. That's the that's the official fan story.
Like, the magic shop was out. I assume this was the same.
So Buffy and Riley fix their relationship while they're dancing, and then Karen arrives to tell them that she's been attacked by a monster. A monster with a very specific symbol drawn on its head, which Jonathan is like weird about when he sees it.
Yeah, he blinks.
And Buffy notices. This is good. I love it. I always, you know, you guys know how much I love Buffy. And you guys know how much I love it when she gets, like, you know, you constantly like pushed down and like starts to question herself. And then she's like, no, hang on. I'm strong. I've got to trust myself and believe in myself. I love those moments for Buffy.
You really
you
do.
You know I do.
Though I must say, they do this one particularly well.
Like, it's really good.
It's real. It's slow.
It's subtle.
And they really force it. Like,
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't do this as well as they did this time, but just like the very... just everyone really committed. They're like, no, Jonathan's cool and normal and you're being weird right now.
Yeah.
Even when she thinks that, like, even just the combination of her trusting herself more, but still not trusting herself that much, just being like, oh, you know, is it right to question Jonathan? Oh,
I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. So, Jonathan leaves to take Karen home, and then we go to Adam's lair.
I didn't love this scene.
Hated this scene.
Sure.
Because it let the balloon out of the air. I was kind of having a really good time.
Let the balloon out of the air?
sure. The air out of the balloon. Because like, I was like genuinely confused. I was really, really confused about what was going on.
Yeah.
And I was really lost in the ocean.
Yeah.
And it just kind of like brought it all back down to earth.
Chris, let me just tell you, this isn't going to be the last time that Adam ruins something for you in season 4.
Do you guys know that show, Adam Ruins Everything?
Yeah.
You heard of this? Yeah.
Adam does ruin everything.
Adam ruins everything. So this fucking guy, seriously? No one, no human, no demon has ever been as awake and alive as I.
I know.
You are all just Adams.
I did hate that line.
It's just like, we already don't like him, and he's like, I'm immune to the spell. You know, we're all just having a good time in the world of Jonathan, and Adam has to be like, it doesn't affect me. I don't get affected by these silly little spells.
I'm so alive. I'm the most alive. I just go around killing dogs all day. That's what I do.
What I do appreciate is old mate's response to him in this moment where he's all like, whatever, man. And it's good. It's well acted. It's well acted. So I'm curious about this man. I'm curious.
I was curious too. I meant to look him up and I didn't.
So it's time to name this week's Name That Minor Character.
Name That Minor Character.
So I don't know that we ever get this guy's name, but his name is Jake the Vampire.
Who is this guy?
Rob Benedict, also known as, known as Robert Benedict, Robert Patrick Benedict.
I've just looked him up. This is a good looking guy.
He's extremely attractive in his makeup, older years. He has aged extremely well.
Yeah.
He wasn't this attractive when he was in his younger years, because what I know him from, because I recently did a full rewatch of it, is how many episodes? A ton of episodes of Felicity. 36 episodes of Felicity. Oh. This is Richard Code, the annoying roommate guy who is just like in everybody's faces but eventually becomes their friend. That is who we are dealing with right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God, I love Felicity so much, and that's exactly what it is.
That's what has been driving me crazy.
My God.
I couldn't figure out why I knew him, because that way of speaking, it was the voice. I was like, I couldn't get past the voice. I know this voice.
What was Felicity about?
A girl in college and all her relationships.
And then a guy called Ben and a guy called Noel.
And then she liked Noel, and then she liked Ben, and then she liked Noel, and then she liked Ben, and then she liked Noel.
And then she liked Ben.
Was she also a vampire slayer? No?
She didn't have that going for her, no. Okay. No.
She liked Angel, and she liked Riley, and then she liked Angel, and she liked Riley.
Richard Code, played by Robert Patrick Benedict, was definitely one of the quality characters in the show. Definitely. So let's talk about what else he was in. He was in Not Another Teen Movie, which is a classic from 2001, and I defy anybody not to enjoy that movie. I don't know much of the other stuff that he's been in. Birds of Prey. Oh, he was in NCIS, an episode of NCIS. Yeah.
He's an alias.
Medium, alias, yes. Muck. Waiting. He was in the movie Waiting, which I also remember him from. If you haven't seen Waiting, I highly recommend it. It's quite funny. From 2005, and I think it's Ryan Reynolds. Yes, it is Ryan Reynolds, and it's basically about a bunch of wait staff at a like Hobie's style restaurant, family restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, something just, you know. Oh, he was in House for an episode. He was in Burn Notice for an episode.
It's Supernatural and the Winchesters.
Yes, for a couple of episodes, I think, of that.
20.
Yeah, 20. I thought, he was in that for a fair bit. Oh, he was also in Lucifer, which is a, you know, relatively enjoyable TV series on Netflix. He was in an episode of Shameless,
He's been in...
He's been in everything.
He was even in this podcast series I listened to called Passenger List.
Oh, there you go. And he was in Masters of Sex, and he was in The Mentalist, NCIS Los Angeles. I don't know if you're allowed to be in both universes of that.
Was he playing the same character? Hold on. He's done something very, very impressive here.
Okay, go.
2005, he's in NCIS.
Yeah.
2012, NCIS Los Angeles.
Yes.
2019, NCIS New Orleans.
Orleans.
And 2021, NCIS Hawaii. A show I didn't even know existed.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like this is an inside joke with the NCIS teams now.
Seriously?
They're just like, we've got to get this guy in for an episode. Yeah. So the dude's a hardworking man. He's 89 actor credits. And it feels like more than that, because he's in some things for a longer amount of time than others.
He's also the frontman and guitar player of an LA band.
Oh, really?
Which has released 8 albums. An American indie rock band from LA that was formed in 97. This band has performed in Australia.
Seriously?
What?
They've performed internationally in the UK, Italy, and Australia.
Huh. Also, shout out to his very first acting credit, which, as it should be, was Beverly Hills 90210.
Yes.
As student.
That's how you get started.
I'm just going through his trivia.
Yeah.
Son named Calvin. And Rob is, oh my God, trademarks, stunningly blue eyes.
Hashtag hell yes.
But the first trivia point, Rob is a stroke survivor. In October 2013, Rob has suffered a stroke during a supernatural convention in Toronto. He's in danger of losing his life, but a quick action by a close friend and convention volunteers saved his life. Wow.
Well, there you go.
His recovery.
I'm enjoying how you guys all get involved in the Name That Minor Character now. This is great.
Oh, it's...
You're into it. It's great.
I just want to start watching a whole bunch of Rob Benedict stuff now.
I know. I think I might be... I think I might be... what's that word? Is it stanning? I'm stanning. Rob Benedict. Is that a thing? Is that a thing? Did I say that right?
Do you know what stanning comes from?
Yeah, from Eminem.
Yeah.
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 If you're going to be writing him fan letters, yeah.
100%. Yeah.
He's your Jonathan.
He's my Jonathan.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of Karen-ing him, you know.
I'm 100% Karen-ing him, yeah. You know, I'm going to go up to him and say, it's Megan with an M.
Yeah.
Can you sign?
Yes.
Oh, too good.
Perfect.
So, I think that's it. We can't say anything more about Rob Benedict. People are getting over it.
That was thoroughly enjoyable. Honestly, when you two were talking about the Name That Minor Character, I wasn't really sure. I was like, who stood out? But then when we got to this scene, I was like, I do remember his face and it did stand out.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I was like, he's played another character in this show. Because the, you know, Felicity and Buffy
We just see him in Vamp Face.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, I know. But it's I was kind of wondering because there have been other actors who've played a vampire and also played another character on this show. You never see them, you know. So it's easy. Yeah. They can do it. But because Buffy and Felicity have such similarities that I think I was just imagining him in Buffy because of him being in Felicity.
Yeah, because of all that vampire slaying that Felicity does. It's very 100%.
Very
smart.
So anyway, let's go back to Jonathan's mansion. Now, I can't forgive him for this. I can't forgive him for the twins.
Oh, I know. Come on.
This is outrageous.
The twins is kind of funny. It's a little funny. Like, just the absolute absurdity that one comes out and it's like, oh my God, this gorgeous woman. Then there's just another one.
Do you know what word I'm going to use right now, Chris, which we used at the beginning of this podcast before we started recording? The audacity of this episode. Which, for the listeners at home, is the program I used to record, or most of us used to record our vocals. The audacity.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about like how they did the twins. Like, I don't know.
And I know that they were trying to like have a drop reveal so that you could see him with the triangular symbol on his shoulder. I'd rather that he was going into the shower or something. You know, if this had been a woman, they'd have done a shower scene. You know, just saying. Like, they could have just had him getting ready and then dropping the robe, sexy like, for the shower scene so that you could see the triangle symbol. I didn't like the whole getting into bed, dropping the robe. It was good for me.
There was no bed. Cringe. We didn't say a bed.
I think also just like, I don't mind him. I don't even mind there being a gag about how he's got like really hot women now and like there's a, like the surprise twin. But just the fact that the way they were like, they were just accessory women. Like, they were so clearly women that like he didn't have any. Like, it was just a weird thing of, like, he's just has, like, women for sex in his room. Like, then...
And that's why I say this
It wasn't even,
was
like, a hot girlfriend. If he had, like, two hot twin girlfriends or something, like...
But he didn't even care about them. It was just completely...
He had, like, no rapport with them.
No, I know.
And that's what bothered me.
I think if it gets... If they are too real, it gets too real. And then you sort of think about the weirdness of the situation. They're basically cartoon characters. Like, it was just it's so absurd. The Nordic accents. It's just...
But let's
ridiculous.
Be real. They were still real people.
Yeah.
Let's be real. They're characters at a TV show.
No, sure. But I just mean, like, in the universe, they were real people that had been forced to have sex with Jonathan.
They had one line. They weren't real people.
I get sick of seeing like women as cartoon characters. It's just like, what am I looking at? So the two things that bothered me, one was this. I think honestly I would have liked two hot twin scenes but just done slightly differently.
Sure.
And two, the scene where Spike is like coming on to Buffy kind of, but because she's still weak in the Jonathan universe, she can't stand up for herself and so Jonathan has to do it for her.
Yeah.
But I didn't I don't know why they had to do this weird, like, body language thing from Spike. Sure. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Those are my two things.
Yeah. And I do get what you're saying, Chris, but equally, like, if you do break it down, literally, when you think about it, these two women have been basically forced into a situation where they're having sex with Jonathan. It's not great. Like, and that's why I say I can't forgive him for that part. You know, like, in all other ways, he doesn't feel villainous. But this, for me, crossed a line.
Well, yeah, and it's not even the implication of, like, forced or not, because I think there's, like, this murky consent. Like, obviously, in the universe, they're in love with him, so it's all fine, but yeah, it's not, but because the spell's on them. It's like
he roofied them. He's essentially roofied them.
But that's not it. Like, it's like he's supposed to be the best guy ever, and everyone loves him, and he's not only, like, famous and talented and strong and smart, but he's also, like, the best guy, right? Like, he's a good friend, he gives good advice, and this to me almost felt like a disservice to his greatness. Like, yeah, he didn't come across as that great anymore because he didn't even, like, know these women or like them or want to have a conversation with them. They were just like bedroom accessories. All of
a sudden he's having a Hugh Hefner moment, and I don't feel like that's consistent with everything else that he's shown about who he is in this universe.
I almost loved Jonathan too much to be like, this doesn't do his character service.
I get it, Chris. I know. I can see your face. You're so over it. I agree. We're overthinking it, but I just think that this is important to call out, because this kind of stuff is what just subtly devalues women all the time.
I totally get that reading of the situation, and I think there's a lot of ways, the ways they could have played it that would have really read that way. And Buffy has done that so many times before, but I think if they spent any more time in this situation, then you sort of you do go there. But I think they played it so absurdly with every over the top cliche.
Yeah,
it was basically Bugs Bunny dressed up as a woman. You know, it was just so silly and so quick.
Yeah,
because if they had a meaningful conversation, that's when it gets really murky and really weird and really this is creepy. But I thought they just treated it so silly, and that's all it was. And I think I think we can give them the benefit of the doubt. This one time.
Agree or disagree.
Okay.
But I get what you're saying, Chris.
Yeah.
Anyway, Buffy, Willow, and Tara are walking on campus, and Buffy is sharing her thoughts. She's deciding to trust herself and open up to her friends about what she saw when Jonathan saw the symbol, the look on his face that he seemed nervous or scared or something. Then also unforgivable. How very dare they suggest that Jonathan won the Class Protector Award. Won't have it.
Yeah.
I won't have it.
I kind of liked the addition. I liked how thorough they were in building the universe. You know, they really dropped in that they had rewritten even that part of, like, because the way the gang is treating Buffy now, and now we get this glimpse that, like, oh, like, in their minds, she gave him the Class Protector Award. Like, this is really crazy town. Then we get later, like, he was in the Matrix, he invented the internet. Like, I just, like, I was kind of for it.
Yep.
So Tara leaves them and gets attacked by the same monster. She manages to do a spell and hide in a supply closet, but then lets Buffy know the next day that it is in fact the same symbol, same monster. So Buffy goes to Xander's place to borrow something.
Just quickly on Tara's spell.
Yeah.
It just bothers me a little bit every time I watch this episode. I don't know if it, like, the monster is so close to, like,
by this point
beating her.
Yeah.
And then her spell just, like, blows smoke into his face. And even, like, the words of her spell are, like, something about obscuring vision or something.
Yeah,
it's, like, obscure. And then, like, smoke flies out of her sleeves into the monster's face.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel like it should be as effective as it is.
I'm going to do a Chris and give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And say that it wasn't just obscuring his vision, but obscuring his mind.
Okay.
And doing, like, a little bit of a head scramble thing that made him all confused so that she could get away.
It's a pretty goofy monster.
Yeah. It's a... You know the lurch things from Hush that had the straight jackets?
Yeah.
It reminded me of those.
I was getting a lot of that.
Yeah.
Not the scariest of the monsters. Weird looking, but the arms are just so, like, it looks like a guy holding
it. I think it wouldn't have been in keeping with the spirit of the episode to do a scary monster, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
That's true.
Can we talk about how delightful Anya is? God, I love her forever.
I love
a big episode.
Oh my god, I love that she just is just everything that she thinks is on her face. She's just like, are you still fucking here? Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, great. How nice.
So Buffy's over there to see if she can borrow Xander's collection of Jonathan comic books and trading cards.
This I loved as well, because you know that, like, I love also that Xander and Anya are like they love Jonathan as a couple, you know? Yeah. Like, clearly, yeah, like, in all their spare time, they just spend bonding over how much they both love Jonathan.
Yeah.
And then in terms of, like, looking for Jonathan clues, she's like, sure, oh, I should go to Jonathan and I should go to Xander and Anya's place where they have heaps of Jonathan stuff. And then here we get to see, like, Jonathan comic books and Jonathan, like, trading cards and, like,
posters, everything.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
People designed those comic book covers, you know, like, and the
cards.
That's what
I mean. The prop department had a blast for this episode. Such a blast. And how much fun did, oh my God, what's his name? The guy who played Jonathan. What's his name? I can't remember it off the top of my head.
I think it's just Jonathan.
No, Danny Strong. That's it. Danny Strong. How much fun did Danny Strong have posing for all of these things, like doing all the shoots that he would have had to have done? He had a blast.
Also, just doing this episode.
Yeah, just doing this episode, genuinely, yeah. So Buffy bounces her ideas off of Anya about Jonathan and how could he possibly be this good, you know? How could he have done all of these things? And wonders whether Anya knows if there could possibly be a way to wish that the whole world would be different. Now, she knows about the wish first. Doesn't she?
Because, like, it's happened.
It happened. Like, we've had Doppelgangland. We know that Willow came back, and we know that Anya was the one that did that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe she's forgotten because of, as part of the spell.
I think she's lost her confidence, and she just needs someone else. She needs a sounding board.
Oh, you mean like if you really liked shrimp?
Yes, good. Thank you for mentioning the shrimp, Mabel. It's important to bring up the fact that somebody could have a world without shrimp, even entire worlds with nothing but shrimp.
I love it. I love how excited Anya gets when she's called upon to explain it with the rest of the gang later. She's like, I can explain this.
Okay. Yeah. 100%. Yes.
That moment, like that retelling and then Buffy like stopping her is a really special moment.
I've literally transcribed the entire thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read it.
Stop it. You're ruining it.
Yeah. But
you're saying it wrong.
There's something electric about that moment. Like, I can just tell on set, like, there was a real... They just all nail it.
Everybody's doing it right. Yes.
Yep.
So Buffy has a Scooby meeting at Giles' place, said meeting, where everyone's not sure why the meeting is happening yet because Jonathan's not here. And she's not sure how he started the Matrix without ever leaving Sunnydale, graduated from medical school when he's only 18. And no one can quite see her point. I do enjoy Riley's got her back. It's cute. It's lame, but it's cute. Yeah.
I love it. Like, it's just, it's even comical in this, like, heartfelt Riley backing Buffy moment that it's like, you know, I'm starting to think that she might know what she's talking about. And, like, all of us are just like, you think? You're starting to think that she might know what she's talking about? I love it.
Yeah. Yes. Happens all the time. I like that at least this time there was a reason for them not believing in her, you know, like they had a spell against them.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what's their excuse every other fucking week?
Literally.
Yeah, just calling out again that Giles has a swimsuit calendar. I just think that bears mentioning again.
Not in the other room. Like, on hand.
Right in his desk. Right.
But, like, why wouldn't he? I guess if he's a little bit ashamed, he wouldn't hang it up.
Oh, God, no. He definitely wouldn't have hung it up. No. So while they're talking and discovering that Jonathan has the monster mark on his shoulder, Jonathan arrives and explains that he does have a history with the monster and becomes confused when he faces it, and that he's put the monster's mark on his shirt, on his shoulder, so that he won't underestimate him. So Buffy's like not believing this story at all. She's like, nah, I smell a rat.
There's a lot of holes in that story.
Yeah, absolutely. So she's all like, well, let's go together, Jonathan, right now. Let's do it. Let's go get this monster. I'm on it. And Jonathan's like, it's probably left town, but sure, fine, let's do it. So they search the cemetery, and I do appreciate Jonathan calling out, finally someone calling out Spike for his creepy small talk. Good. Good stuff. Then we find out that back at Giles's house, that Willow finds a book that suggests that Jonathan might have done an augmentation spell. And yeah, created the monster. So Giles concludes that if Jonathan's monster was killed, then the spell would be broken and everything would be over. And so Anya suggests that Jonathan may not actually want Buffy to get very far. Mm. And then we go to the cave and there's a big pit and Jonathan pulls her back from the pit.
Yeah.
And it's at this moment that we realise he's just a good guy who did a bad thing.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's done a few bad things.
Yeah. I mean, he's not willing to hurt Buffy to maintain the life. He just really wanted to be part of the cool gang, which, you know, frankly, relatable.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I've often wanted to be part of the cool gang. Didn't do an augmentation spell, but
wish you would have if you could have.
I would have. 100%. I would have.
He's a good guy. He was weird with the Swedish twins, but everything else, he was a pretty good guy.
Yeah. And then we get this good little moment where, like, you know, the monster comes and Jonathan starts to lose his skills and he gives Buffy a pep talk and he's like, you can. And as you know, the monster defeats me, I'll get weaker and you'll get stronger. And yeah, she just starts to kick ass, as she should. Saves Jonathan, which is nice. Yeah. And things are back to normal. And the Jonathan as Matrix, Jonathan as Matrix poster goes to a Sunnydale Times poster that instead says, we're not just black and white, which I quite enjoyed.
He had a bunch of different posters up.
Yeah. He's got like a Jonathan.com poster that changed back into a Dingo's Ate My
Babies. I saw. Do you know who Dingo's Ate My Babies are?
That's I forget the character's name. Oz. That's Oz's name.
You forgot Oz's name.
No, I didn't. I remembered.
He only just
We're going to edit
us.
That out.
Next day, the Scooby gang are reflecting on the way things have changed. I really, really appreciate Riley stressing about being too tall. Let's be honest, he is too tall.
He's very tall.
That was a nice moment. And then also, just wanted to call out the Buffy moan at the end, where she's all like, Jonathan. And one final thought. I think I've mentioned this before, but sometimes I watch this show with headphones on when, like, Mary's snapping. And the kissing noises are just too much. They're too much. They're gross. They're really bad. It's just too much. I had to take my headphones off for a second.
I also don't know if it was just me, but, like, even his, like, shirtless scene with Buffy in the room, I was kind of like, why are you shirtless?
Does he just not have any chemistry with people? Problem.
Like they needed him to take his shirt off to make it an intimate.
No, but I'm all just being like, he's just a slightly a person who's just slightly uncomfortable in his body or something. And so he feels awkward in that scene. And so you feel awkward. I don't know what it is about it, but like the way he interacts with people just feels awkward. And you just can't quite ever go with him on the journey. Like, you know. Just,
they weren't even doing anything special. He was, like, shooting a basketball and then, like, standing next to it. And the whole time I was just
definitely
like,
could have had a shirt on for that.
Put a shirt on.
Yeah.
He is a little awkward in those sort of situations. Mm. But I think it's important to remember that, like, 90% of us, 95% of us would be awkward in that situation.
Good point.
And that's what a movie star is. A movie star is comfortable in the most awkward of situations, you know?
True. It's true.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, every time David Boreanaz gets his shirt off, I'm like, there for it.
But
like,
star.
When Lucas does it, and it's not that Lucas doesn't have a nice body, but it's just like, I feel like I'm perving on you when I do it, you know?
I also just feel like...
I don't know what it is.
I feel like maybe he like doesn't want to have his shirt off either.
That's
like,
mean. I think
know?
He feels uncomfortable with his shirt off, like, and it's noticeable. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not on you, Lucas. It's fine. If you're uncomfortable, that's fine.
Whereas Angel, I'm like, you look comfortable. Like, you look like you don't want to put a shirt on, you know?
He absolutely doesn't want to put a shirt on. David Boreanaz is all about shirtless.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
I am also.
What about you, Chris? Do you want to weigh in on this one?
Leave me with the Swedish twins. Oh, you have Boreanaz, I'll take them.
So that is the end of the episode. I love the continuity section of Wiki this episode because it's basically all the ways in which this wasn't right. And it's like, yeah. Uh-huh.
You bet.
You think?
They're like, Karen starts with a K.
So very good.
Thanks.
According to Jane Espenson, Buffy is supposed to say "I'm just kidding" over the credits at the end of the episode, but it didn't end up happening with Cole Jonathan Moe. But yeah, it didn't happen, which would have been very funny. Yeah,
that's funny.
And a couple of other little random things. So Anya reads in Jonathan's book that he invented the internet, which is apparently a reference to the popular rumor that that Vice President Al Gore falsely claimed to have done so, which he never did. But that was a rumor that got out. Yeah,
yeah, that is a weird rumor.
It is a weird rumor. Yeah.
I really thought that for a while, too.
So, Chris, tell us, what is your favorite quote?
I do have a couple. There's some absolute bangers in here, but even just talking through the episode and getting to the end, there's one of the final lines. I think it's the line reading that really, really sent me. It's a Xander line.
Great.
I'll always remember the way he made me feel about me. his line reading is just perfect. I'm glad we're at this point where we can really appreciate Xander for his good line reading.
His good line reading. Too involved in the plot. His character is just really servicing the show at the moment. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. With that in mind, I'm also going to give it to a Xander quote. I was kind of torn between two. One was about Xander and one was from Xander. So I'll give it to the one from Xander. But it was when Buffy's starting to suspect Jonathan and talking about how he blinked at the symbol. And Xander's just like, "The man moistens his eyeballs and we're having a meeting about it."
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Also good.
Yeah. Megan.
I have to do the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Mainly for the end, though, right?
Okay, go on.
Now prepare to hear Megan recite the entire episode from start to finish.
Yeah. Buffy tells Anya to tell the Scooby Gang about the alternate universes and everything about this delivery. She's like, "Oh, okay. Say you really like shrimp a lot. Or we could say you don't like shrimp at all." And Giles is nodding and she's like, "Blah, I wish there weren't any shrimp," you would say to yourself. And Buffy's all like, "Stop, you said it wrong." And she talks about how Jonathan may be doing something so that he's manipulating the world. And we're all like his pawns. And Honey goes, "Pawns?"
I'm glad someone said it.
Genuinely laughed out loud for about 30 seconds after she said that.
It was very good. It was very, very good. I'm glad you did it. There's something, because, you know, we get so much of Anya almost being like uncomfortable or annoyed or not like fitting in. And this one, she was just so happy. You know, she was like, "Oh, please, let me tell you all about this. And this is how it would go," you know? And she was
I wish there weren't any shrimp.
So serious. And she normally she's like kind of like hand wavy about things and trying to get through it. But here she's like really serious. You would say, "Blah, I wish there were."
On for the whole thing. Oh god,
there's no way someone wrote that. It would have been "Oh, so let's say you don't like shrimp," and then Buffy they would have said, off.
"Say something about a shrimp world," and she'd have just been like, "Oh, okay, well, so let's say you don't like shrimp, well, you really like shrimp."
Sarah Michelle Gellar probably just let it go, you know. Let it go a little bit longer.
You're not doing it right.
It's so good. Okay. Chris, what won the episode for you?
I know it's a Jonathan episode, and it would only be right to give it to Jonathan, but...
You can't.
Anya had a rip snorter. I'm giving it to Anya. She was really, really, really good this episode.
She is
so glad. I feel like after we just, like, carried on about so long, I was like, someone's going to make this win the episode.
Yes, good. I'm glad you did. Yes.
I haven't even... I thought it, like, I feel like I'm just going to give it to something general, because, I mean... I thought something might stand out, but...
The concept.
The insertion of Jonathan with no fucks given and no punches pulled, you know? Yeah. Like, they went hard.
They did.
And I loved every second of it.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Mm. It was good. Maybe. I can't think of anything else to give it to. Those two things just sum it up. It's Anya and it's the concept. It's the vibe of the thing. It's Marbo.
It's Marbo. We're giving it to Marbo this one.
Sorry to our Australian, to our non-Australian listeners who won't get that reference. No, what am I going to give it to? I'm going to have to give it to Anya too. I really can't think of anything better. Like, I just, she's got to get a double win for me this episode. She was so good.
Yeah.
She just, everything I think about is Anya related that I can think yeah. of. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's just all Anya. It's all Anya. So.
Her just wanting to get back to her book, you know?
Like... Yeah.
Excellent.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay. I forgot to say the death count this episode.
Mm-hmm.
One vampire. I don't know if any of this counts, really, because it was an alternate universe. But one vampire staked by Buffy in the cemetery. Unidentified man blood drained by a vampire nest. One vampire shot with a crossbow by Buffy in the crypt. Three vampires shot with a crossbow by Jonathan in the crypt. One vampire staked by Buffy in the crypt. Unidentified woman killed by Adam in the library, only mentioned. And the monster pushed into a hole by Jonathan. Now, very quickly, though, this death count makes me think of a question to ask you, Chris. Do you think that the events that took place in this episode that kind of sit outside of Jonathan as a whole will continue to exist now? So did all of those vampires actually die? Did the things we learnt about the characters and, you know, about, you know, did the things that he told people, are they real? Were they actually happening? Will we see
nothing of consequence really went on?
Sure. We didn't learn anything interesting about any other characters. Okay, good. That's fine.
What am I forgetting?
You know, because like at the end, Jonathan says, I think I said some good things to you. You know, I think, you know, like that thing I said, and now you and Riley are in a better place. And, you know, like, so Riley and Buffy's relationship has been fixed by Jonathan, even though the Jonathan-ness of it is now done. You know, so it'll be interesting to see if there are other things that Jonathan did or said that might come back later. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe it's throwaway jokes, but nothing consequential.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
This is freaking me out. Why are we...
I'm just looking at the picture of the monster now. And
right?
Like...
Yeah, okay. I've looked it up too. He's a beard.
How is that beard? How did I not notice the beard in the actual episode? Yeah.
I think I have to give the win to the beard. Sorry. I'm sorry, Anya. I have to pull it. I'm giving it to the beard.
I reckon.
I think we've finished.
We have. I've forgotten
to
do the
thing.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. Chris, tell us where we can find you. That's the end of the episode.
ChrisAramos.com. I can marry people in the country of Australia.
Then find us on all the things. Buffy Australia.
Yes.
And we'll catch you next time. Thanks, guys.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Australians watching Buffy. It's Buffy the Vampire Australia.
One of my favorite lines, hands down.
Yeah.